And I have some questions here too, which I've just discovered on the desk. Oh, wonderful questions. How does prayer work? Why is it important that we pray for beings? How would that affect them? And how would that make a change in their situation? So wonderful, wonderful question. And I'm very happy to address that and try to give some deep, meaningful responses to that. And I think that has to do with often the conception of the word prayer as something that we do, which is very hopeful. But that is also, it's very timely, because that's also why I've sent out the 12 vows, the aspirations of the Bodhisattva who became eventually the Medicine Buddha, to realize that, again, it's all to do with causality. What we aspire to in our mind stream, which is sometimes quite quite hidden from us. What we do on the outward level is not always what we really are doing. So at the deepest levels, we want to bring our very most excellent aspirations, which is actually mental power, is our mental internal speech, is mental force, which eventually ends up manifesting in speech, internal hormonal biochemical inner speech, which triggers everything. And we also want to manifest those aspirations, obviously excellent aspirations, through our physical body. So when we pray, if you think of prayer, not so much as something we do with an empty, hollow wish, but actually prayer, which is turning about the aspiration, the force, the intent mind, what the Buddha called in Pali, chetana, the force of mental activity. That volitional force gives rise to everything we do. And from a point of view of actual perception, but many of us don't know, we have to do a lot of meditation for this, is in fact that force of intention mind is also giving rise to all of our experience. So where we find ourselves, what we eat, what we do, what we think about, what we watch, what we read, every single thing that we do, even our biochemistry, how it gets secreted, is to do with the force and the quality of our intent mind. This is probably, I've never added it up. I've always wondered if maybe somebody who is a graduate student with a lot of energy, mathematical ability, and a Buddhist practitioner would take it on to actually analyze the Buddhist Tripitaka to see what percentage of that is. But my suspicion is somewhere between 75 and 85, maybe 90% of the Buddha's teachings, all the way through the three baskets, are really on about this point, which is going from that which is unwholesome or good or neutral, which doesn't really go anywhere, but appears like it does, to refining and discerning that which is wholesome, that which is unwholesome, that which goes nowhere, which is paralysis and anxiety, and that which blossoms into good states and awake states and liberative states, which fulfills the aspirations and fulfills the compassion for other sentient beings. So prayer is very, very deep. And one person's prayers, that's one person's aspirations, one person's wish for blessings, liberation, awakening, great compassion for other sentient beings. You may not feel that you have that power, but maybe someday you will have that power to affect millions and millions of people, as many, many people, individuals have throughout history. They have affected the course of history, and they've been incredibly compassionate, loving, and have helped the standard of living, and at a relative level, built hospitals, built schools, built educational programs, have become psychotherapists, have become doctors, good politicians, so on. These individuals, and then we're also, let's talk about the saints, such as Saint Francis of Assisi and Saint Teresa, and Jesus Christ, others that have had Amilarepa and Gampopa and the Karmapas and Jisun Sungon, Guru Rinpoche, beings that have and the Buddha, of course, that have had profound effects on human beings and still have profound effects on human beings. So where does that come from? Prayer. So if you change the word prayer, which you should do, into wise, compassionate, liberative intent, placing that in the mind stream over and over and over again, it has incredible benefits for sentient beings, not just in the future, but right now. And as Namjoon Rinpoche once said, I remember this, never forgot it, during the first academy at the Dharma Center back in the 1980s, he said, "It is the prayers of refuge and bodhicitta, especially, that carry over lifetimes. The force of those prayers, how much we do and how heartfully we take those in, is actually the force that brings bodhicitta and brings us to the Dharma faster and faster and faster and deeper and deeper, deeper, lifetime after lifetime, as great medicine." So I've never forgotten those words from Namjoon Rinpoche. So you might wonder, why do we place such emphasis on the preliminary liberty instructions? Because they are of the highest aspiration. They are prayers, but they're meditations, they're contemplations. They change the force of volitional intent of our being, which means we change physiologically, cognitively, and we get into the deepest recesses of our physiology. And remember that our physiology is our cognition. Whatever we experience is our physiology and cognition interdependent. Whatever we think about is physiological. Whatever we think about makes physiological changes in our being. If we do enough of it mentally, we change our physiology. If we're in a difficult state physiologically, it can overwhelm us mentally and actually put the seeds of very difficult states. And you may wonder, well, why is it that people that are in long-term states of anxiety or anger or greed or delusion don't just die from it right away? And that's to do with karmic and genetic propensity. So you can be a very hateful being. I'm sure all of you know of some like that. I certainly have met people like that who dwell in a lot of anger, resentment, guilt, and so on, shame, other things like that. But they have a constitution which is so remarkable that force of negativity, maybe it's extreme narcissism or psychosis, they still live till 99 or 110 years old because their force, their constitution of karma is able to withstand that. Others cannot do that. They'll die from the stress. They'll die from the greed, the hatred, delusion, the difficult physiological states at the age of 25 or 30 or 40 or 50. So we're all built differently. We have different lifespans and different physical constitutions. Just because you live a long life and you're healthy most of your life doesn't mean you're actually a good being or a saint. There are great saints who've been sick all their lives, and there's been great saints who've died at the age of 25, like Mingur Dorje in the 16th, 17th century. He's a great saint, but died young. And some of the Karmapas, most of the Karmapas and Dalai Lamas and so on, die early, but they have great power to affect the liberation of other sentient beings. So how does prayer work? It changes the inner environment, it changes the outer environment, and because we are truly interdependent, interconnected, and maybe not instantaneously, perhaps we are, actually we are, but some things take a long time. So one needs a lot of patience to see change. So those are things. If you really, as the Sakya Treason said to a dear friend of mine who passed away, who was an excellent Dharma teacher, the place you need to change is the warfare that's going on in your heart. That will be way more effective, perhaps, than trying to change the outer warfare at this moment. So, of course, we can do both. But if you don't change the inner war, you don't change the outer war for other sentient beings. So as Namgyal Rinpoche said on occasion, lovely statement, do the trees and the vegetation bend toward you, or when you walk past them, do they bend away from you, trying to flee from you? So I would say work on the green thumb. So worthwhile. Do creatures flee, or do creatures move towards you? And so everything is interdependent, and we know this from mainstream science too. Not just me speaking, but take a look at the journals today. You'll see it's all full of words of interdependence, interconnectivity, and how all life forms are connected. So what we pray for is what we aspire to, and it changes everything.